So you have to measure these folds. Okay, so you can see when it is a healthy, it is able to deform. So it has elasticity, you will be able to deform it. But if it is infected by this malaria, or if you consider a parasite that is nothing but P. falciparum, then you see that it has become hard. And in the bottom figures, the three figures, or you can imagine that three figures where you are generally dividing the red blood cells, the cell is now hard again. These two tweezers are there, they are trying to stretch it, but they are not able to stretch it. So this one is infected with a parasite, and the one at the top, which is been which you have been detached it, where you have applied some force, and both of them can be deformable, then it is safe. If it is not deformable, it's still attached, it means it is infected with a parasite. So you can understand that just by the infection, the cell behavior has changed, and it is not the chemical change, it is a mechanical change. I am able to see that I'm not able to deform the infected one, but the healthy one is wherever you are able to deform it. So this type of analysis can also be done to know whether somebody is infected by some disease or not. So again, the another idea for the material behavior taking from the biotechnology. Now taking for the electronics, for example, another we have a lot of fancy idea of those electronics, you can do this and you can do that. But again, the basis of the material development, because all the semiconductors which are being developed are using silicon. So of course, so silicon is an intrinsic semiconductor. You add dopant, you add the dopants to make it extrinsic semiconductor, and this dopant can be pentavalent doping elements or trivalent doping elements, and depending upon which you are adding, either a p-type makes it either a p-type or n-type semiconductor. But to get this semiconductor, you do not have you do not want any other impurity in the silicon. So there, all the properties you have, you want to have that silicon very pure. So you want only that kind of a property which either has a p-type, that means a lot of holes, and n-type means a lot of electrons. So silicon has to be very pure for that. And to get this silicon, the pure silicon, the only technology is the zoned refining, and which is based only on the metallurgical concepts, or a phase diagram and the non-equilibrium phase transformation. So these two ideas actually gives us this high purity silicon. The purity can be 99.999. So I think I have covered all the 99%. So you can understand that the impurity level is around 0.0001. This is an impurity level in that particular thing. So you can understand the kind of purity you have to get, or you need the silicon to have a good semiconductor, or you have a very high purity silicon. Only you will get with a good semiconductor, extrinsic semiconductor. So that when you add these dopants, you get either p-type semiconductor or n-type semiconductor, or one zoned refined tantalum single crystal is shown here. Okay, so you can get single crystal also by this particular technique, and which is what used in the solar panels and all that. You must have been, if you have to take a looking at some technical aspect of a solar cell, then you want a silicon single crystal. Then only you can get very good for the efficiency. So if it is not a single crystal, it will perform as a solar cell, but the efficiency will go down. So one example of the tantalum single crystal is shown here. You can see the finish, the shine on this surface compared to the other products which are shown here, and it is around 99.9%. So again, for the electronics, you need the material. You have to depend on the metallurgical concept to get these materials. Again, as I told you, if somebody started using in the advertisement, that means that the idea is woke, or the field is very woke. For example, all these recently launched cards, they are advertising that they are using a new advanced high material known as a high strength steel. These steels have very high strength, so you can reduce the weight of the car at the same time, where you get the strength is being increased by many folds. So under these impacts, it's able to withstand the crash, so it will not crumble. It will not be able to, if it crumbles, then it cannot withstand the crash. And recently also, you must have came across in the newspaper, certain of the Indian cars are able to withstand the crash impact. So now they are going to this for this high advanced high strength steel, which has a very high strain, high strength, and by that they are reduced, they can also reduce the weight. So of course, the fuel economy is going up. At the same time, they are having the very high strength, so they are able to withstand the impact during any crash. So again, if you see the recently launched cars, if you go to the website, you will see that the exterior and the structural component, they are advertising that these are using this kind of materials, and now they have this kind of a properties. They are kind of showcasing of that what this material has been and what kind of material development they have did from their end. So in this introductory podcast where I gave the there also I have talked about the government policies keep changing. So for example, they will say that now in the vital environmental impact is very necessary and it starts from your car, so its emission should be this much, this particular norm should be followed, this particular engine should be followed, this kind of fuel should be followed. So you have to develop new materials to reduce the weight, to increase the fuel economy, to in order to shift from one thing to other. So these are the dynamic fields. It will keep changing day on the day according to the environmental concerns and the government regulations and whatever the subsidies they are trying to do and whatever the push the government is trying to make it on this country. Another example of the materials or the metal material concept is a material failure. Another one of the very popular example is a failure of the Titanic. Okay, so it's very popular. The movie is made out of it. So it is in it. It is a maiden voyage itself. It's unfortunately it sinks, and that's the reason. What is the reason for that? So for that was ship was going through very cold water in the Atlantic. So Atlantic is very close to the North Pole, and one iceberg up is a very big iceberg and just it hit the ship. So normally, if you have a good material, that is what you see in the cars also. If you have experienced a small accident, you will see a dent. Whether it will break into one or two parts with the bumper side. So normally, if the iceberg hits, unfortunately, you have to have a dent at most, if it is a very good material. But in this case, actually, it fractured, started cracking, and under the heavy load, that is, this was the biggest ship of the time in the terms of the weight. So it was the most powerful ship of the time. So the velocity also must be very high. They wanted to reach the USA in a particular time, so probably they were going very high speed. So very big mass, very big velocity, very big weight, huge weight, and when it hit the iceberg, so the energy of the impact must be very, very high, and the momentum is very, very high. So it is an impact kind of the loading, okay, but if I have a good material, there would be no end. It wouldn't have been a problem. Problem was that the time, whatever is still there using it, has a very high sulfur and the phosphorus content, and when you have this high sulfur and the phosphorus, is that the low temperature properties are not good for that steel. Okay, so actually, while starting behaving like a brittle material at that very low temperature, so under this temperature of Atlantic Sea, the temperatures are very, very low, so it behaved like a brittle material. So when it hit the iceberg, everything got cracked off. So when the iceberg hit in, the fracture started, and under the weight of the steel, it started growing, and the whole ship broke into the two parts. So there is a brittle transition. So what otherwise a material should be behaved as a ductile material, not is behaving like a brittle material, and that was the cause of this accident. In fact, the material failure ideas you can also use for a very good response for this example. This Mahabali, in Mahabalipuram, there is a big pond, or you can say it up like that is a single rock, and you can see the finishing and the curvature that they have got, very nice circular curvature with a very good finish, and you must be wondering, how does one do that, you know, during the time of 400 to 500 years old? How could be this possible? How can this produce such kind of a very nice surface finish and perfect curvature? So there are very similar examples if we go inside it, and if we discuss this, how it could be impossible, which is already mentioned in the lecture. And for example, if we want to discuss a material behavior, how does it behave? Just very similar to a human behavior. Okay, so if we take an example that for example, 4140 steel, okay, if I do annealing, annealing is kind of a heat treatment. If you do the heat treatment and I get a strength of 415 megapascal, so if I do it after heating and then quenching it, and I'm doing very fast cooling in this case, I'm annealing, so I'm doing it very low, slow cooling, okay. So actually what I meant to say is that if you are doing the fast cooling, then it is quenching. If you are doing very slow cooling, then that is annealing. So I'm getting it to the lower strength. If I do the same treatment, I will take it to the higher strength. But now I'm quenching this material. For example, I'm quenching this material, so I will get a very high strength. If I anneal it, I will get very low strength. That's what I meant to say. So the two different heat treatments, and you will get too much of difference in the strength. So I usually kind of jokingly compare it with the 70s movies. Okay, usually in the 70s, a lot of movies has the story that the twin brothers are there. One went to the police officer's house after, of course, getting separated from their family in the Kumbh Mela, and one went to the maybe Dakota's home. Okay, so one turning out as a good citizen, another is doing the bad thing. So two different conditions starting from the same family or from the same, you can see the same condition, but two different imposed. So one turning out to be the something else, one turning out to be the something else. Same material, if you do annealing, it has a different strength, and if you do quenching, it has a different strength. So So another example, and this is a fatigue. So fatigue is a kind of a material, kind of a condition imposed on a material where it goes under a cyclic loading. So continuously the loading cycling is changing, and as I told you, the example of the shaft of an automobile where it is rotating, so it goes from the tensile to compression and from the tensile to compression and compression to tensile, so it goes on. So when you have this kind of a condition, the material fails at very much lower load than its yield strength or whatever its fracture strength. Okay, so we have to limit this. We have to make sure that the fatigue doesn't occur. So then we have to take care. We have to take care of the fatigue loading into our design consideration. We have to give the factor of safety, enough factor of safety, that so we cannot reach that particular load. So these are very important. So if we want to compare this example with a traffic jam, okay, so if you are in a traffic jam, you are continuously maybe honking, or others maybe honking the horn. So also you continuously are changing the gear, you are placing the clutch, sometimes you are placing the brake on you, or whatever, you are placing the accelerator or something. So it's continuously changing condition for you, and supposing that sometimes somebody in front of the blocks you catch and cuts in front and blocks your way, and you will feel very agitated, of course. And suppose normally you are very silent guy and you don't get agitated much easy, but in this condition, because very small events are packing up, and we are certain like that, you will be out of your box, and you will perform in a very agitated manner. So the same for the fatigue condition, where you break out very fastly, your threshold will get down. That's what I meant to say. So this is one of the case condition where, again, you can very nicely relate it with the material behavior and how the human behavior in a similar condition, and both have the same type of the behavior. This is, now you must be wondering why I'm putting the Hrithik Roshan here. So okay, so I'm talking it as an example of a work hardening. So work hardening is one of the way to increase the strength of the material by working on the material. So if you take the aluminium as a small sheet and you hammer it, okay, so earlier you may be able to deform it very easily, but after hammering the aluminium, it's very difficult to deform. So basically you have done some working on the material, and of course the microstructure level, there is a lot of understanding you have to understand. You have to go into the deep and understand this kind of a behavior. But if you see at just the macro level, and you are seeing that I have hammered a particular material which is aluminium, now it is very difficult to bend it, which was very simple before the hammering. And for example, and if you again compare with the people who do bodybuilding, so they have to work on their muscles. So if you keep pumping the iron, so you see the muscles are developing, the strength is developing. That's called as a work hardening at the moment. So again, the material also, you do the working, you get more hardening, you get very hard materials for the humans, and also they work on their muscle strength increases. So there is a hardening you can feel, is that the muscles are getting hard. So again, you can see the very nice, there is a very nice correlation between how the materials behave and how the humans behave in a very similar conditions. And a very popular example I will take in explaining a Nano, which was launched by the Tata at one time. And suppose now you can see there are a lot of materials here. For example, the bonnet is some kind of a steel sheet. There is some gas material is flowing on into some material underneath, and there are too many alloys in this material, and there is some plastic at the bumper. So I suppose I want to say there is lot of many materials which are involved in an automobile. So if I want to say that what is inside this bone, what is this material of this bonnet is made of, so suppose I'm taking a magnifying glass, and if I'm looking through it, so what I will see is a microstructure, of course. So on the surface you do not see anything, so but actually if you go in down, if you keep a magnifying glass, and you can see a lot of features, a lot of things that there are there. You will see some more dark areas, some bright areas, of course. You will see what do they mean by lot in the next feature lessons. But the inside material which you do not see from the outside, and this is called as a microstructure. Suppose I'm interested to go more into the detail, this is what the next level of this. So then I will go to the atomic scale, then I see that there are nice atomic arrangement in the material. So the atoms are arranged in a very nice fashion. Okay, suppose I wanted to say that how these arrangements are there, then I can say that these are arranged in a fashion which we call as a crystal structure. So the microstructure is nothing but there are a lot of features are there inside the material which do not see from the outside. That's the features of that material which we cannot see, that is a microstructure. Whereas the crystal structure or the atomic arrangements which are present in kind of a crystal way, okay. So in the subsequent lectures we probably discuss about this, and we'll take a viewpoint of what is a microstructure and what is how the atoms, if you go into more details, you see that the atoms are arranged in a specific fashion, and these atoms are, however they are arranged, are classified into the 14 ways which are called as a crystal structures. So with this, I hope that you will be able to appreciate the study of materials, which is a very interesting subject, and it covers very wide areas, and is very important that the development of materials is very important for a lot of technological developments which we will be going on the right now, and we will come on the later. So understanding of the material behavior of the material will be very helpful for the mechanical engineer actually. So when he designs or when he uses some materials, he has to understand, he has to appreciate what kind of a material goes there, what kind of heat treatment should have been done to sustain that kind of a temperature. So we will discuss the next in the next course.